Blog Talk Radio.
Think of me, think about us since the intimacy. I'm tryna strum you like guitars in this beat. And you sit around and you kick the blase flee. Plus, you got a man, but he ain't quite me. This type of man is try to give you what you need. And he wanna know where you are, where you be, where you going, where you stay, where you subject to be. Damn. If I was him, I wouldn't even need. I would trust you when you say that you are what you be. Say, he the type of nigga that tell a chick, take his girl on a date and they go to Mickey D's. Say, I'm the type to try to stab in the Jeep, try to take you out to see things and occasionally creep. Yeah, your man is doing things I can't really see. Don't sound too good, it sounds tainted to me.
Now tuned in to GEI Radio Necessary Convo. I am your host, Tone. Got my co-host, GG. What's going on?
Everything is good, man. Everything is good. How you feeling tonight, man?
Feeling good, man. Feeling good. Friday. It's a pretty decent day today. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How about
that's
yourself?
What I'm talking about, man. That's some good GEI Tone energy, man. That's what's happening. Hey, I want to officially welcome everybody to tonight's show. Tonight is going to be really, really interesting. It's going to be good, but it's going to be very interesting because this is going to really dig deep into the households. And so I have a feeling, Tone, that we're going to have a lot of different opinions on tonight's subject matter, and that's what it's about. So we're going to have some necessary convo. You know, we rock out every Friday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, so it's around that time right now. And Tone, I invited a handful of people. You know, I do that every week. I reach out to certain folks that I feel like will receive and give feedback. So, you know, we know that people sit on the show and listen and get feedback, and we appreciate it. You know, I think we get most of our feedback after the show, honestly, Tone, which is,
yeah.
Hey, we don't have no problem with that. We don't have no problem with that. But at the same time, I want you guys to keep in mind that when you call in and you share whatever your perspective is, it's completely anonymous. Like, we don't know who you are. There's no caller ID, you know what I'm saying, Jessica Jones and whatnot. So we don't know any of that. You're not going to receive a survey text to your phone or to your email address. I know shit like that, right? So just understand, however you feel, even if you think it may be contrary to others, go ahead and share that. Like, don't be afraid to do that. You know, no disrespect, but I get a lot of inboxes and DMs and stuff, and I'm like, shit, why didn't you hop on the call, press one, and share that perspective? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So that's going to be really, really important, guys, because you got to understand that there's other people that it'll help. It'll give different perspective, and they may be able to relate, and they may be feeling like, yo, I thought I was the only one that felt that way. People were telling me I was wrong, and this was, you know, reassurance, or this was some type of validation or confirmation. So you got to understand that your voice is extremely important. All right, so that's how we rocking. You know, the show was formerly known as Freaky Friday. We was getting into some freaky shit, right? Which is cool. Which is cool, because you have to have those conversations too with somebody, right? If you can't have them with your partners, you damn sure not going to have them with people that have no business knowing your business. So why not rock out with some folks who's going to give you some perspectives, going to give you a different side of things with that. But however, we got some other content that we really need to make sure that we delve in, and then allow people with all different types of situations and challenges to be able to do that. So Necessary Convo encompasses all that: family, love, money, sex, lies, drugs, all of that, right? So we appreciate you guys, especially those who've been rocking with us for like the last two. Well, we're in season two of our project, but we really appreciate you guys' faithfulness, your timeliness, and just everything that you've contributed, because that's what makes us keep going. That's what inspires us and motivates us to keep bringing a hot and fresh show every damn Friday. So if you want to tap all the way in, obviously you're on the line now, but give them what they need to know, man, not only to tap in, but to send that information out to those that they want to go ahead and get rocking with us tonight.
And I know, you know, tonight, I know with some of these questions, people are going to want to answer, you know, maybe two or three of these questions. So if you want to give out the number, get your friends on, the number is 516-387-1268. That's 516-387-1268. You can, if you online, you can click the link at GI Radio, listen in like that. If you call in, just press one. We'll get you on. If you got a question, you want to talk to myself or Gigi, all you got to do is press one. Now, when we buzz you in, when you hang up, press one again so the cursor can go down, just in case you want to answer another question. So I think a lot of people may want to answer like two or three questions, but they keep the cursor up. So I don't know. So you got to hit one twice. Hit one to get on, and then hit one when you're getting off. So that's what it is, GG.
Yeah, that is what it is. And so I want to make sure that everybody knows and understands that we decided to include current events, hot topics, and things like that. Now, traditionally, historically, I ain't into that shit. You know, I'm the type, okay, everybody's already talking about it. I don't want to talk about that, right? But Tone actually, you know, has been really, really adamant about talking about some subjects that are very necessary and currently, because everybody has an opinion about what goes on, right? And obviously, everybody's going to do what they want to do for themselves, for their household and shit like that. We understand that. But at the same time, this platform is the perfect platform to have that type of dialogue. So, Tone, I commend you for bringing in current situations, current subjects, the climate of certain things that's going on into this conversation, because a lot of people have something to say, and sometimes don't nobody want to listen to their ass. You know what I'm saying? They friends don't want to hear it. They burnt out from the subject. They spouse don't want to hear that shit for real. And then, you know, it's kind of like, yo, who can I express my opinions and my perspectives to that's actually going to listen to me? So this is the platform for that. Now, house rules real quick. Tone's going to get you on, right? And I'm going to get your ass off. That's how it's going to work, right? Tone's going to buzz you on. But I'm going to be the one to get your ass off. So that being said, keep in mind, keep your comments to about 2 to 3 minutes max. If you start meandering and lingering on and repeating yourself, I'm going to chop you off, right? I'm going to do it respectively, but I'm telling you now that I'm going to be, hey, you know what? I appreciate that. Thank you for calling in. Like, it's not even nothing personal. And I'm not even going to be like, well, why'd you say that? Or why didn't you? Hey, we appreciate your perspective. Thanks for calling in. So don't take offense to that if you hear that. But, you know, all that being said, and like I said earlier, you know, go ahead and call in. Go ahead and press one to get involved. And, again, we're not going to ask you what your name is, your first name, last name. If you call up here and you want to be Peaches tonight, as long as you're a woman, right? If you want to be Peaches tonight, cool. We'll talk to you, Peaches. All right? So let's get into it. Obviously, oh, yeah, okay, another thing is this show is uncensored and unscripted. So you're going to hear a little bit of everything, and it's okay to say a little bit of everything, right? So it's okay to disagree. It's okay to agree. Whatever your opinion is, that's what your opinion is. All right, so that's cool. So now, are we ever going to be censored, or this platform, no, on this particular platform, we're good?
You're good. This platform is free speech.
Free speech, man. So you can't beat
free
that.
Free speech.
And we're not even.
I mean, we don't want no like bashing or nothing like that. But it's free speech.
Yeah, never. Yeah. We definitely don't want any bashing, you know, however you feel, how you feel. But just stay on the damn subject, though, right? So stay on the subject lines. Because if you veer off, you're going to hear, hey, we thank you for your perspective. Thanks for calling in. All right, and that's all it's going to be. All right, that being said, so what are we talking about tonight, man? What direction are we going tonight? What's happening?
Okay, so the name of the show tonight is parenting, right? I'm pretty sure everybody's familiar with the Kirk Franklin situation. So I kind of just took that situation and came up with six to 10 questions dealing with, you know, raising kids and the do's and the don'ts. The good thing about this topic right here is I get to hear a lot of different. I don't have kids, so I only can, you know, talk about what I do with my nieces and nephews. But I just want to hear from a parent's perspective, you know, the ups and downs and the good and the bad and do's and don'ts of raising, you know, raising kids. So with that being said, Gigi, I just want to know from you, how do you feel about that situation? Do you know about the situation?
Yeah, you know what? I haven't really dug into it. You know, I've heard bits and pieces. Of course, you know, there's all type of media bites all over the place. But I have recently got a little bit on the story. So just real quick, for those of you that don't know, the two of you that haven't heard about the Kirk Franklin situation with his family, is his oldest son, names are not important, but his oldest son basically recorded a phone conversation between him and Kirk Franklin. And those of you, I mean, Kirk Franklin, the gospel artist, Kirk Franklin, okay? The guy do look like Plies, but that ain't Plies, though. So what happened was his oldest son recorded the conversation, and basically the portion that he put on social media was Kirk Franklin, his dad, basically blasting him, you know, and he was going all the way in. Like, he said, I heard him say, bitch-ass nigga. Like, when I heard Kirk Franklin, on my people say, Kirk Franklin say, bitch-ass nigga, I was like, yo, he sounds like a dad for real. I wasn't even tripping, honestly, because he's a grown-ass man talking to his son. Like, that's their business. But obviously, it's public. Kirk Franklin is considered a celebrity. He does have a large following. He does have a large influence. So, of course, things are always going to be magnified. So let's just be real about that. Like, it is nothing unusual. I done cursed. I done been cursed at. You know, a lot of people can relate to that, but it being publicized and obviously, you know, taking a toll on his family, a lot of pressure, a lot of people feeling some type of way. I don't know how it affected his endorsements or his the church and all that stuff, his affiliations. I don't know. But tonight we're talking about this particular incident in regards to family matters, family ties, if you will. So, you know, it went public. He turned around and apologized because he was like, yo, he got angry. You know, they've been going through therapy. And so it was just one of those situations to where, you know, he got caught up. So he's apologizing for people to see him lose his temper, not him handling his oldest son like he felt like he needs to handle it. So at this point, you know, it's all over social media. Kirk Franklin and his wife of 25 years was actually on a show that I saw bits and pieces of today, and they were basically asking him to explain, you know, the relationship and is it irreconcilable, have they always had a problem now. So that opened up some shit that he probably didn't have no plans on going public about. So that's kind of where we're at now, to where his shit busted wide open to the white meat in regards to his family. And so now he has to talk about it. And not to defend himself, but to help justify and help understand that, hey, I'm a dad, man. There's no cookie-cutter way to be a dad. You do whatever you need to do for your family. Like, nobody's questioning him about what it took for him to provide. So how you gonna chastise him on how he handles his family when it comes to disciplinary actions? So I think definitely, that's interesting. So that's it.
Okay, so my first question, so basically, like I said, all the questions is based off of that, right? So my first question to the listeners in UGG is, at what age should kids be allowed to express their views and opinion on situations without it being disrespectful?
Man, that's a tough question. The best I can do, I have four children. My kids range from, my oldest daughter's in her late 20s, and my youngest daughter will be 17 this year. So that's a pretty good range, and obviously there's two in between that. And each child was unique. So you couldn't even handle each child the same. At least I couldn't. Each one was unique. Each one had, you know, certain things about them to where I would literally have to curtail. I mean, obviously it was rules, household rules, right? But when it came to the bond, when it came to discipline, when it came to having certain conversations, for each one it was different, you know? So anyways, that being said, and plus I was a young dad. I was a dad. I was a teen dad, right? And then my youngest daughter, I was in my 20s, right? So it's kind of like I was a dad three times at that point. So there were certain things that I did not tolerate just because I knew better and I knew kids and how they did things. And then, and also through experience, trial and error. So, you know, all that being said, each one was so unique. So I can't really give an age, but I can give an age range. And because it's different now, like 21st century is different now, right? There's like, you can't body slam your kids no more, right? You can't body slam them. You can't put them in the headlock. You can't steal on them. You can't swing on your kids no more. Like the kids know their rights. You know, there's so many legalities to it. So with that being said, there's kids out there that know that, so they're going to take you all the way to the limit and then dare you to do something to where, you know, it may come off as, you know, a threat or life-threatening, and now your ass is locked up, and they living with their auntie and shit like that. For me nowadays, now that I'm not having any more kids, I'm done. Right, I'm done. But I would just go by my youngest daughter. And let me also say this. Kids that have siblings versus only children or only children in only child in the household, those are significant differences as well because, you know, kids will look at what happens or did not happen to their sibling. And so they'll even try to use that against your ass and be like, well, you know, Shawnee, she got away with it or she did it. And, you know, so why when I do it, it's as bad or it's worse or, you know, that type of thing. So, man, these damn kids are something else, man. But having conversations for me now, I think it's so key to do it early on. And as early as they can understand, you know, as early as they can understand, as long as you make sure you set those boundaries, you know, with kids, man, it's so important to set those boundaries because, you know, depending on if you're a single parent or if, you know, two parent household or co-parenting, man, like, so these are all factors. Because you want a uniform situation. You want a uniform, way that you rear your child. And that's a whole nother subtopic with that. So I wish I could give a really easy answer. Maybe some of these callers can jump on here and kind of give their experience. But, you know, as young as they can understand, I think that's how important it is. So that, you know, that could be 4, 5, 6 years old, man, to be honest with you, maybe even younger. It really has to start that early, and it has to be consistent. It has to be consistent because, you know, you got some dads that are, you know, we suckers for our daughters. So, you know, they get away with shit or they see the son. You know, the brother getting away with shit, and then we harder on the girls, or we easier on the girls, and harder on the boys. So many factors, but when it comes down to it, when them kids understand, because you got to understand that they're gonna be influenced outside of the household. You know what I'm saying? There's so many influences outside of the household that you have to set that standard and those boundaries inside the household, so they'll second guess what the fuck somebody on the outside is telling them, because that's not how my dad and mom raised me or my grandma and granddad raised me or whoever the hell raising them, their guardian. So as soon as they can understand, communicate, that's when you want to do that. But it's tough, man. It's tough.
Okay.
Yeah, it's tough to gauge that.
We got a couple callers on. Let's see what they think. 6992, GI Radio, you on?
Welcome to the show.
Hello, fellas. Hey, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is an amazing topic. I'm doing good. Thank you for asking. I have two children.
Okay.
One that's almost 40 and one that is mid-30s range. So there's a seven-year gap between them. So it's almost like I have two children, but they were raised separately. Now,
right,
the circumstance with the circumstance with Kirk Franklin is, number one, that was purposely and intentionally done. If not, we would have heard the whole entire story.
Yeah.
Also, I know that there's some anger there because he felt like, from my understanding, the son felt like he didn't have what the new family has. So there was some resentment going on. Now, the only thing that I can bring forward on this is that with my two, because I was divorced by the time my baby was three, so basically I was a single mom for a very long time. And I worked. The one thing that I've always done is to make sure that they had. So they had a home. They had, they didn't have to get food stamps. We were never received anything from the government. Everything was off my back, and which I'm very proud of, because in the end,
as
my son is an adjunct.
I said, as you should be. As you should be, absolutely.
So in the end, my son is an adjunct professor and my daughter is a detective. So they made their way to the world. Now, this is my key. Did I make mistakes? Absolutely. Absolutely. Did I make mistakes that I did not realize until they were grown? Absolutely. Did it come to a time that when my daughter was about 25 and she wanted to say something to me, and I responded in a very negative way, and she went to raise her fist. And I told her, eye to eye, toe to toe, that you raise your fist, we become two bitches in the street.
Mm.
And she saw my intensity and let go and release. I'm glad, because I don't know if that took place, what type of healing could have come from it. But what it did do was open up the door for conversation. So going back to what you were saying, how early do we hold the conversation? We hold the conversation, and this is my lesson learned. It's not what I did, right? Lesson learned looking backwards is as early as possible, allow your children their thought process, as long as it's done in a manner of respect. Now, this is what I discovered. I discovered that their anger was they felt as though I wasn't there. I traveled a lot with my job, but I had a real strong family base. So my mom was there. My sisters were there. It wasn't like they were being farmed out to individuals. They were with my family at the times that I had to travel. But I traveled 2 weeks out of the month as a basis when they were younger. But when I was there, I thought I was a full-time mom, so I was at their games. My daughter played basketball. She's almost 6 foot. And my daughter ran my son ran track. So I thought I was there. But in their mind, in their perspective, and not until, again, adulthood, they felt as though that my job was more important to them. And I said with tears in my eyes, we actually sat down and talked. I said, you know, the reason why I worked so hard and achieved what I achieved was because I never wanted you to be on welfare. I never wanted you not to have what you needed in your life and or to beg anyone. So in my perspective, I thought I did an excellent job. In their perspective, there was some hurt. But things were instilled that actually helped them propel in their adult lives.
Yeah.
And now as adults, we have the ability to talk. So it's real hard to cast judgment on Kirk because, you know what? I would have said the same thing.
Right.
I would have.
Oh, so you would have called your son a bitch-ass nigga?
A bitch, like I told my daughter, would be two bitches in the street if you dare.
Okay. Absolutely.
So I understood. And, again, we don't know what took place in the beginning of that conversation.
Yeah,
we don't even know the history in detail. Right. That was the next thing. We don't know that history, and it seems like it's something that has been ongoing. And I don't lay blame on the son, and I don't lay blame on the dad. I just lay blame on the release of something that should have remained between them.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's pretty powerful. Now, is this Miss Boss Lady?
You know what?
this is Miss Boss Lady, man. The way she drops gems, it has to be. If not, there are about to be two Miss Boss Ladies in this motherfucker. That's for sure.
You
would have had a stunt double. That's powerful. Let me ask you this, since we have you. That's pretty powerful. Now, when you had that conversation, well, first of all, did you have the same conversation with both children, and did you have them at the same time?
What took place is when my daughter and I had that one instance, and that was really, I think, throughout her entire life that I ever realized that there was anger. I brought my two children together because I wanted to know at this point. My sister said something to me that I didn't realize. She goes, Swanda, I know you thought you did a great job, but you need to hear it from their perspective. They're adults now, and you should be able to sit down and talk. I always thought that we had an open communication. Again, my perspective, right? I always thought that my children could come to me with anything. I always thought that they had no fear of me. I never believed that they thought that I would want to cause any type of harm, hurt, or delineate them, or felt that they were less than anything because they were my life. Internally, they were my life. But my separation from their viewpoint and their perspective showed them that I didn't care. Now as adults, they do see it differently, but I brought them together. I needed to know. Mm-hmm. And it was with pain in my heart that I needed to know. And we sat down, and I think we talked about 3 hours. And, you know, they brought up little things here and there. And I said, this isn't about justification, because I'm not going to justify anything. It isn't about your justification, because you don't have to justify anything. I just need to know what your true thoughts are. And we talked. I mean, it was adult to adult, not mother to child. It was adult. Mm-hmm. What did you see? Yeah. What did you think? If you have a question of me now, I'm going to answer it honestly. If I ask you a question, please do the same. And that night was one of the most painful nights, but at the same time, in the end, we were able to embrace each other in a way that we never had before.
Yeah.
The gauntlet had been thrown down, but in the end, when it broke open, it allowed beautiful green grass to come through. So it was healing. They're still healing. And the only thing in the end is what I told them. I'll never apologize for what I did when I thought I was right. But I do know better now, and know that I have an understanding, and we will approach everything from a different manner. I can't help but to. You're adults, and you've done well. We can't backtrack, though. We can't go backwards. Yeah. There's an impossibility. If somebody wants to pretend to themselves that, oh, we can do that. No, you can't. There is a healing that can take place. But there's an understanding that also has to take place, because now you're talking as an adult to another adult. And it's saying, this is what I feel. I cannot eradicate what they felt. Now, if you want to know why, I can answer that, but I'm not going to justify it. If you really want to know why, I will give you, and there will be no I will say to you, I didn't realize I made a mistake like that. Or, this is what I thought during the time. But we can't go backwards. We can only go forward, and let's heal our lives, because know this one thing about me, and that's how I ended it. Know this one thing. You guys are my life. To this very day, I will die for you.
And that's powerful. And overall, like you mentioned, you know, nothing could be changed, but we can still build through understanding and the experiences moving forward. So that's dope, Ms. Boss Lady. We appreciate your perspective. And if you want to jump back on later, if we can get through some more questions, because I'm pretty sure that you're, you know, what you just dropped is going to spark a lot. So we're going to get some other callers and stick around so that you can hear a lot of the things that you may have ignited in other parents with their perspective. So we appreciate you.
You know, the only thing that, if you don't mind saying before I leave, is that as parenting, there is no books. There's no journals. They have parenting classes, but a lot of times those individuals that are teaching these parenting classes don't even have their own children. So it is going to be, no matter how good, no matter how prepared you feel you are, you're going to hit some bumps in the road. You're going to make some mistakes. And the only thing that you can do is be prepared to forgive yourself and continue to move. And as I told my children, you now know what did not work for you. You do better. But guess what? You're going to make mistakes as well. And it's okay because we're human.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, we appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Tom, Miss Bossley sounds sexy, don't she? I can imagine she probably, you know, nice and curvy, may have that silver fox look to her. We're going to have to look into this thing, man. I'm kidding, y'all. Just having a little fun. It's a Necessary Convo every Friday night, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Damn Time. Tonight we're talking about parenting, family ties, blended families, Kurt Franklin situation, every damn thing that comes with that, man, in the household. And Ms. Boss Lady just dropped some major gems. Now, I'm going to do the math. Ms. Boss Lady just said that she has a 40-year-old and a 32-year-old or something like that, right? So I don't know her age, but I think through experience she said she's somewhere in the 60s or 60 or somewhere in that, right? So it's interesting that we're talking about adult kids feeling some type of way, because this is what happened with Kurt. And not, hey, it's funny, Kurt and the family. Wasn't that the group, Kurt and the family? Kurt and the family. I think that was like his original album, Kurt and the family. But I think it's really interesting that an adult kid was feeling some type of way and wanted to express himself that way. He wanted to expose him, right? So his oldest son is in his 30s. So how long has he been holding on? And what makes him think that this route would be the most effective? You know what I'm saying? Like, does he have a plan? Did he have a plan? Does he think that now the world knows what goes on in the business, that that'll change things? It's really interesting, man.
I think it's
really interesting.
You know, when I first looked at the story or whatever, I was like, wow, you know, the kid is crazy, like you're exposing your dad, right? But then when I started to think, and now just listening to what Ms. Boss Lady said, is sometimes kids hold on to stuff, and maybe all those years he felt like he didn't have a voice to say what he wanted to say to his dad, especially with his dad being a major figure, like a celebrity or whatever. And maybe this was his way of getting it out. Like, it don't make it right, but this was his way of saying, like, maybe that's what he'd been
going
through.
Now you have to deal with this.
Yeah, he probably was taking that language. He probably was talking to his kid like that since he was young. We don't know. You know, it might was a whole situation where he got treated a certain way and everybody else got treated another way. We don't know. You know what I'm saying? We don't know. Something forced him to do that. You know what I mean? Something forced him to be like, all right, this is how my dad really is. Like, he's not this person that you see. This is how my dad really is. And that's from the son's side, but from Kirk's side, it could be, you know, you ungrateful. Like, I did everything for you, but one time I said no, you know. We're going to get into some other callers. 5355. GI Radio, you on?
Hey,
good evening, guys.
How you doing?
How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I want to touch on a few things. Let me see how quick I can do this.
All right.
First thing, much respect, Boss Lady, but I need to point out something. I salute that she didn't have to use the system, but for individuals who have had to use the system, nothing wrong with that. Doctors, lawyers, detectives are still produced from that as well. Just needed to point that out.
Sure. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, For sure.
Secondly, I don't agree with Kirk's son's delivery, but I understand. I have adult children, and we are mending fences, have a beautiful relationship now, but for as much freedom as I thought I gave them to express their, you know, their feelings, they held on to stuff as well. We dealt with the situation where there's an age difference between my older daughters and my younger daughters. Single mom, worked all the time, did have periods where had the, you know, you have to lean on the system, but I worked to pay into it. So,
right.
Where my older daughters felt that I babied the younger daughter, or she got away with murder.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. I was a little bit more lenient, but also I was home a lot less, working a lot more, and a lot of the responsibility, okay, well, y'all are home, you're going to watch your sister. That's not always a good thing. So it's like they were babysitting when they should have been doing other stuff. So they held
right.
all of that stuff in because they're like, no, we're not going to disrespect Ma because she's taking care of us, putting a roof over our head and stuff like that. But it built up a level of resistance. They held
yeah.
on to it, and then we had these explosions. Now with my older daughter, some of it was public because she came at me on social media. So I understand
okay.
that. I did not like the delivery, and it wasn't a back and forth thing on social media, but I had to step back, absorb everything that she was giving out, and we had to have those conversations.
Yeah.
Again,
that's powerful.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate the delivery, but I definitely understand it. And at the end of it, what we all have to look at, okay, Kirk didn't have to apologize for anything. His son doesn't have to apologize for anything. What we tend to forget is that, okay, yeah, he's a gospel superstar and all of that stuff, but at the core of everything, that man is human. His family's human.
Yeah. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a lot, but I got everything out.
You did. And we appreciate that. I think you made a very, very valid point. And Tone, listen to this. So oldest son is in his 30s, right? So you got to
yeah.
take in consideration the lifestyle that Kirk and his family and his wife and them had then in comparison to what it is now. Like, I don't know how long he's had millions, but I don't think that he's had millions 30 years ago, right? I don't know if his
yeah,
career
right.
is that, you know, whatever. So if you take
yeah.
that in consideration, yeah, the son is probably like, yo, you know, you gave me the Corolla, the 84 Corolla for my, you know, sweet 16. And then, you know, the youngest daughter, you know, she got a Tesla truck. You know what I mean? So he may be looking at what's going on in comparison of even the lifestyle that the other kids have because of his success. Because, I mean, obviously, you know, once he's of age, then, you know, I don't know what their arrangement is. But I will say that I did hear about Kurt basically, you know, putting him through college using – his resources to get him to school, and I think he had, like, some type of mandatory, hey, your ass going to go to school, you know, or I'm not
yeah.
going to foot, you know, certain expenses and whatnot. So, but I don't know the details of that.
But, Gigi.
And we
but
do
I think
have,
that does have an influence.
We do have instances where I struggled a little bit more with the older ones. I was in a better position with the younger ones. So, yeah, she did get the same thing. The price ranges were different, and I didn't think that I was doing anything wrong because I was doing it for all of them, but they were looking at that differently. Well, she got this,
yeah.
she got that, but we got this. So it
right.
happens.
Yeah.
Thank
yeah.
you guys so much for letting me
yeah,
join.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, we appreciate that. Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for calling in.
Thanks for, yeah, most definitely. So what was your thought, Joe?
This is what I was going to say. This is my thing with parents, right? I get confused when parents be like, I kept a roof over your head. I made sure you ate and you went to school, right? Like, that's what you're supposed to do. Like, you don't get credit for that. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's the norm right there. Like, you kind of, like, have to do that. You can't tell me, you know, like, I did these things for you. That's stuff you're supposed to do. Now, when it comes to, you know, buying me a Maybach when I turned 16 and things like that, those are pluses. You know what I'm saying? Or buying me a mansion or a house or cars and stuff like that, that's a little different.
Mm-hmm.
But the basic stuff, you have to do that. Like, I didn't ask to be here. So
I could kind of
understand where a kid could be like, you know, if I didn't get none of these things and now I have a younger brother or a younger sister and they getting all this stuff, just because I'm 33, that don't mean I'm not your son. I still should be able to get those things too.
Right. So, it doesn't change that we're family. I get that.
Yeah.
I think,
I don't want to say, because I don't know what, I can't really speak for, you know, white parents, but I know, like, in the black community and, like, a lot of, you know, my friends and stuff that I watched grow up and grew up with me, it's like with our kids at a certain age, we just throw them out there. You know, like, oh, he's 33. Be a man. Shut up. Don't say nothing. No, you still my mother. You still my father. I'm still going to, like, I'm 40. I still ask my mother and father for stuff. That doesn't mean I'm not a man. That doesn't mean I can't get it on my own, but those are my parents. They're going to be my parents forever. You know what I'm saying? Like, this, my age doesn't, it's no cutoff. It's not like, okay, I'm 40 now. I don't need to ask my parents for nothing. I don't know why we do that to our kids. Oh, you 18 now.
Yeah.
Go be a man or go be a woman. Like, you grown. Don't act, you know what I mean? Like, get out of my house or, but we haven't gave them the proper tools to survive on their own.
I agree with you 100% from that perspective. I think culturally, as black, Negroes, African Americans, whatever you want to identify as nowadays, that there is a stigmatism that at a certain age, our children should be functioning adults that can provide for themselves or be prepared to provide for themselves. I truly believe that is an issue. When in other cultures, you know, because you got to think about it. I mean, it's memes and shit like that already. You still stay with your mom. You still stay with your parents. You know, you 30 years old, whatever. You never know if that child is equipped because, again, it's different for each individual. It's different for each household. And the key is to, of course, make sure that your kids are equipped. Now, that they may be equipped at an earlier age. You know, you may have a phenomenal child that is independent and found a way to become independent financially, physically, and things like that before the legal age of 18. But that doesn't mean that they are prepared to experience adult shit. You know what I mean? And that's the thing, because you're still a child, you're still a young adult. And so in our heads, you know, historically, it's like, okay, well, you're 18, you're grown, you're smelling yourself, you want to do this, you want to do, well, get the fuck out of my house. You know, and we have to actually look and see what is that lifestyle of that teen. Like one of the callers said, was that teen able to be a teen? Or did they have to grow up fast because your ass had 3, 4, 5 kids early, and then instead of them being able to go ride bikes and shit like that, they got to watch Lil Man, Baby TT, Luana acting like she a damn monkey. You know what I'm saying? So I can see that there is some how there could be some resentment because, you know, kids aren't allowed to be kids. You know, they're not allowed to focus on, you know, school, sport activities, maybe some extracurricular stuff that they want to learn, dancing, choreography, and shit like that. And they weren't able to do that because they had to be a young adult or a young, responsible kid so that mom can do those things. Now, I'm not knocking anybody. You know, I'm not knocking anybody.
Yes,
you also
have to
take consideration that, you know, you got single parents and then you got, you know, two-parent households. So those are, they doing what they got to do. You know, they're doing what they got to do. Now, to your point when you said that, you know, the bare minimum is to make sure that your child has the necessities, that they clean, they eat, and that, you know, and I get that because as long as a grown-ass adult is able to do those things, they need to be able to provide for their responsibilities. But I think that that's used times to say that there's instances where people are homeless with kids. There's instances where they can't provide. That parent may be ill or that parent may been laid off or they may not have certain skill sets or may have had a kid so early that they ain't even got a GED and they don't have anybody to watch the kid. You know what I'm saying? So there's so many variables to why some may not be able to provide the minimums. Because let's be honest, there's kids in foster care for a reason.
Yeah.
Right? You know, there's drugs, there's domestic abuse, you know, there's just all kind of stuff. You know, traumatic issues to where, you know, moms and pops, you know, people are in the psych ward. But I do think that kids also have a responsibility as well, and that there's a lot of influence, again, outside of the household. They're looking at what other kids are wearing. They're looking at what other kids' parents are driving when they come and pick them up. They may get on the bus, and then the other kids, they're watching the kids leave out of the Benzes and Maseratis and BMWs. You know, so there's just so many influences. That's why the communication early on is so important. And if you're blessed enough to have a tribe, that they can reinforce and say, hey, you know what, your mom, your dad, they busting their ass. If they could be here with you to do this and to do that, then, you know, they would be. But they're trying to, or they're doing their best to keep and sustain this lifestyle. Whether it's food stamps or not, I ain't knocking food stamps. Give me the peach card. I'm swiping that motherfucker.
definitely. I mean, you know, like you said, people got to do what they got to do. I don't have kids. I put myself as a kid when I was a kid. Like, I was raised by my grandmother and my pops, but my pops always worked. And I was cool with that until it was something I wanted him to, like, an event that I wanted him to be at.
Yeah.
And he wasn't there.
Yeah.
You know, so I was upset. But the one thing I had that, I don't know if every parent does this. My grandmother kept it so solid with me. Like, listen, you see that bike you riding? That's because your dad working. You see this? That's because your dad working.
Yeah.
Those shoes that you wanted that you seen on TV? That's because your dad working. You know what I mean? So she broke it down to me. So I wasn't as angry as somebody else would be because I understood, like, okay, I want things, so my dad has to go to work. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So the way she broke it down to me made me understand. I mean, of course, I'm a kid. I'm still going to be a little bit upset. But the overall, you know, I understood, like, as a young kid, I understood it. So I guess, like we said, having that conversation early and being consistent, I know sometimes parents don't want to tell kids everything, like, it's none of your business. But I think it is. I think some things are their business. If they understand it, they won't ask or assume or think. You know what I'm saying? If you tell them, like, listen, I can't get this because we have to pay rent. The rent is this, this, and this, and this, and this. I think you should tell kids that. That way they got a better understanding of what mommy doing or what daddy doing or mommy and daddy doing. That's just, I mean, like I said, I don't have kids, so that's just how I think. But we got a bunch of callers. Let's get the callers on. See what they
I know. Let's rock.
8554. GI Radio, you
hey,
on?
Hey, fellas, how you
doing? Welcome to the show.
Hey, fellas, how you doing? Thank you.
Good, right? Good.
I just wanted to chime in because I think there's one that you all haven't touched, the other callers, and have brought everything up. And the one thing that I think you all haven't touched was in the Kirk situation. Kirk's son was with him as he started getting notoriety and more money and everything, and he was up with him through high school.
Okay.
And he decided he did not want to go the route his dad wanted him to go. He didn't want to go to school. He went to school, but he didn't really want to go to school, so he ended up flunking out. And
okay.
So Kirk's thing was like, all right, cool. You want to do it your way? Fine. But I'm not funding it. If you want me to fund what you want to do, I need you to go get this degree so you have something to fall back on. When son
yeah.
says no, then he's like, all right, well, you know, more power to you. Figure it out. But as I was reading the back and forth between the siblings, it was something that his son said that told me that there was a whole lot of hurt that no one ever dealt with. He and the son said, you stole my daddy from me, to his younger sister on social media.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So the underlying issue was I was his firstborn. I'm supposed to
yeah.
have all that you all have without having to do the stuff that, because the stuff across the board, the daughter was saying, his younger sister was saying, yo, we all had to go to school. None of us wanted
yeah.
to go to school, but we all had to go to school. If we want to get this, we have to do this.
So this is the coming to America. This is coming to America story. So even the, you know, so by royalty, by being the firstborn, he felt entitled to everything without having to do the work, but just the simple fact of being the firstborn, maybe the eldest, or maybe even the one that did experience the transition. So he's thinking that automatically, regardless, just do the right thing because I'm your boy. I'm your oldest.
Correct.
But
G- and that was the argument between the siblings.
I think like,
and as a mother of adult children, I get it because I'm the same way. Look, I'll help you as much as you want because I can see a lot further down the road than you can. So I can see that you need this degree. Even if you choose not to do anything in that field, you need that degree because if you got to go get a job somewhere, you having the degree means they're going to pay you a little bit more money than the person with a high school diploma. So just get it. I'm paying for it. You ain't got to put nothing. You don't have to spend a dime. Just go to school. Get the degree. But if you don't
want
to do this, you want to do this on your own, then do it on your own. I still love you,
all the way
but
around.
I can't fund you because I already know that I'm going to end up spending more money than I would spend on school just for you to figure out you actually need the degree anyway.
Hmm. Okay.
I want to
go ahead, Tom.
I want to answer that because that's another thing, right? We got this thing where a lot of people do feel like you do need school, but school is not for everybody. And I was one of those people. Like, I was one of those people. I didn't graduate high school. I didn't go to college. It just wasn't for me. You know, it just wasn't for me. And no matter how much my parents pushed me, it just wasn't for me. I had to figure it out. I knew that I wanted to do something, but I knew it wasn't school. But my dad never told me, like, if I don't go to school, he's not going to take care of me. He won't. Whatever dream that I got outside of graduating from college, he never said that. I think that's a form of bullying. It's like, okay, if you don't play this sport,
well, it's not,
I'm not going to take care of you.
I'm not going to. So I need you to understand.
Yeah, but
they're two different things. I'm going to rock with you. I'm going to support you 10,000 ways. But I'm not going to fund you living in your own apartment. I'm not going to pay your rent for you to live in your own apartment when you should probably stay at home while you're trying to figure it out. Versus But I want to live in my own apartment because if I was in college, I would be on the dorm and I wouldn't be at home. No, 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 no. You don't get it both ways. I'm not saying you got to get out the house. I'm just not going to fund your journey. So, yeah, you can stay at home and figure it out, but I'm not going to pay for you to live over here for you to figure it out over there.
But you,
so, you get what I'm saying?
Okay, so you would pay, you would give me $100,000 to go to college, even though I don't want to go, but you wouldn't give me the $100,000 to figure it out.
No, you know why? Because you don't have a clue as to what you're what you want to do. Now, if you came to me with a plan, I want to build a TV studio. All right, cool. What do you know about the TV studio? Well, I know this, 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 and this. I got a plan.
Yeah.
So I need a plan, not just I don't know what I want to do, but just pay for me to figure it out. And that's the way that Kirk's son was coming across. Now he's figured it out, but he wanted to do music. Okay, cool. So don't go to college and get a degree. Go learn engineering. Mastering. There are all kinds of different programs that increase your profitability in whatever it is that you want to do. If you did want to go to college but because you had a radio show, you decided to go learn engineering. Then I'm going to pay for that because that makes sense. That fits with the plan. But that's not what Kirk's son wanted.
Okay.
He felt like the other children, and he said it, they took his dad from them. So they get more opportunities.
Yeah. And you have to keep in mind, and thank you, Carla, for dropping that info that I damn sure didn't know. So that was good. But also, we also have to keep in mind that we don't know what the arrangements are. But as a parent, right, you want to set a standard, right? You have to understand, if he's the first, right, so if he's the firstborn and he's able to pretty much do as he pleases and his dad or parents will bail him out, then what kind of standard is that setting for the other kids? That now there's no alignment on how you run your household, because at the end of the day and in the beginning of the morning, he's a man, he's a father, and he's a parent to children, right? Two children. So that means he has to protect his household in several different ways. And so I don't think that anything about it was malice, but I understand and I know that, you know, sometimes, you know, you have to set certain boundaries. There's going to be kids out of your bunch. Somebody's going to want to do something different. Somebody's going to go against the grain. We hear all the time that, you know, out of four kids, you know, two of them are doctors, one of them is a lawyer, and then another one is a high school dropout. He wanted to do what she wanted to do, what the fuck ever she wanted to do, right? So that's real. Those are real households. But at the same time, you still realize that those parents set a certain standard. And if you don't want to abide by it, there's no love lost, but understand there's consequences to that. Right. And so, again, you know, we don't know how many other things that he tried or that he said, okay, I'm not going to school, but help me with this business here, or I'm not going to school, but help me right here grab this company, or I want to work over here, I want to travel overseas. We don't know all of that on the inside. At least I don't know it. But I just know as a parent, you know, you still have to set certain standards and boundaries across the board. And if you if you veer off, then you have to understand on both ends there's consequences to that. So if you do that, if you let that happen with that son, then you have other kids looking at that. And if the son decides that, okay, I'm going against the grain, then there's a chance that I'm going to have to try to figure it out on my own now.
Yeah.
But yeah, Carla, we don't want to hold you. So we thank you for dropping that info off and especially that information that helps a lot. So we thank you for calling in.
Thanks for calling in.
No problem. You all have a good night.
Mm-hmm. You too.
You too.
Okay, callers.
What you saying, Tom?
I see a whole bunch of people holding on. Don't hang up, because if you hang up, you're not going to be able to get back in because it's after 10 o'clock. We're going to get you on. I do want to hear everybody's opinion on this. That's all I wanted to say. I just wanted to make sure that they hold on. We're going to get them on.
Okay.
So let's go to the next call. 7421. GEI Radio, you on.
Welcome to the show.
The phone number.
Oh. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, we're
here. We waiting on you. You want to chime in?
Okay.
Maybe.
That's what he said. 7421. That's you, Marvin.
Yeah.
You on?
Boom.
What's
oh,
up?
Shit, my bad, yo. Hey, man, I forgot what the hell I was gonna say, yo. He got man. Dang, it was on something early because I actually tuned in a little late, yo, so I ain't even really catch too much, you know what I mean? But I did catch a little snippet of when y'all was like, as far as the kids and whatnot, you know what I mean, like leaving the, you know, being home, leaving the parents' house and stuff early. Now, Tone, you disappointed me with your opinion. Because I don't think, I mean, it's nothing wrong. Don't get it twisted. There's nothing wrong with, you know, when you're 35, 40, you know what I'm saying, your parents still living in well. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, you kind of go to them for advice or whatever, you know what I mean, might need a little help with something. But you, man, don't kick your kids out. You want them to stay in your house as long as possible. You have to get these children ready for the world. We see.
Yeah, that's what I said.
They don't know. They think they know because they, you know what I'm saying, they're growing up fast. They think they're grown. But the world ain't nothing to play with. You got to be ready. Now, when you keep them in your house, you know what I mean, you teaching them principles and, you know what I mean, real life stuff, then they'll be much better prepared when they move out the house and be financially stable and ain't got to come back to you in two years helping, you know what I'm saying, asking for your help. You know what I mean? Because they much better prepared when you coaching them up and you helping them with their, you know what I mean? They're helping to change their ideas of what adulthood is like. Because, like I said, we've been in it, so we know. They don't.
Yeah.
And it's our job to show them, you know what I mean? And, you know, to help them to be better people and productive citizens and, you know what I mean, just doing the best they can with life and, you know, excelling.
Indeed. Now, do you feel like there is an age, though, to where, like, come on. Like, there's some things that you should have already applied and experienced. Now it's time for you to figure the shit out, because think about it.
Right.
At a certain age, they're doing adult things, right? So now you have to factor in, okay, do they have kids? Are they dating somebody seriously? Is a grown-ass woman coming down in the basement? Is she riding dick late night? And the parents upstairs? You know what I mean? You got to check in. So what do you think? Well, you know, I got to throw that in. It's still Freaky Friday in me, man. Excuse me. But so do you think there's still an age to where, like, you got to really evaluate what's going on? What would that age be?
Yeah. You know what?
Now, we know Tone at 35, 40. Tone's still going to be calling this.
No. Because if you're doing a great job, you'll be able to get them financially stable, you know what I mean, by, I say, no later than
30,
you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, keep them in the home. Coach them up. You have to really stay on them, you know what I mean? Teach them to, you know, show them how to be disciplined, because that's where it comes with success. You have to be disciplined. You have to know that you can do this stuff, but I know I have to do this, because this is what it takes to get here. And this is where I want to be, so I'm going to have to, you know, and as the parents, we're going to have to be monitoring them on that, you know what I mean, and showing them and leading them so they know, like, man, it's going to come easy, you know what I'm saying? And then it's going to be like second nature for them, you know what I mean? When they under your roof and you continuously, year after year, just, you know what I mean, drilling them, training them, and you got stuff in place for them as well. You know, and that comes down to being the example. You know what I mean? You got shit in place. You got shit set up financially. You know, so they don't, when they leave the house at 30, I guarantee they won't come back asking for mommy and daddy help probably for the rest of their life. You know what I'm saying? Whether they leave the house at 18, they be back at 21.
Just follow the principles that they were taught all along. Just follow those same principles outside of the house.
That's it.
That's dope. That's dope. We appreciate you jumping on, man.
No,
lady.
He can't hang up.
Hold on, let me say this, though. Because I know Tone want to clear his name, though.
Yeah, just so we clear his name. Just so we clear, Marcus, I was saying that. That's what I was saying.
Okay.
Yeah, come on, man. Don't do me like that.
No, look, I misheard you. I'm like, my bad, yo. All right, take that back. Don't beat me up, yo. Look, I take that back. Hey, you know, he on point with it. He on point.
Indeed,
you
man.
Yes, sir.
All right, we appreciate you, bro.
Thank you for calling in, yo.
Oh, you already know, man.
All right.
Yes, sir. All right, talk to y'all later.
All right. Yeah, I mean, I think that, listen, you know, me personally, I ask my parents for money because they ask me for money. So I'm going to, when I'm 50, I'm going to ask my parents for money, even if I got $200 million in the bank. That's right.
You just want to see if they still 10 toes down for you.
That's right. And they are.
10 toes, so, 10 old ass wrinkled toes down. That's what you want to know.
When I ask, they
did. Let's get
call
it rolling, man.
Definitely. 2748, GEI Radio, you on?
Welcome to the show.
Hey. Thank you.
Hey.
Candy, how are y'all? Hey.
Hey, Candy, you still engaged?
Going on, Candy?
I am. Still engaged. Still in trouble, but I'm still engaged.
Okay. Well, hey, as long as you're still engaged, you can figure the rest out. Go ahead and jump in, Candy. Go ahead and jump in.
Oh, her call dropped.
Oh, or jump out. All right. Let's keep
going. She's not
going
to be able to call back in either.
Nope. Candy, you know what? You're going to have to send a smoke signal. You're going to have to send a smoke signal.
Okay. 6992, GEI Radio, you on?
Oh. 69. Welcome to the show. Going once. Going twice. All right. Let me just remind you guys
I'm here,
Friday. Okay.
Oh.
Hey.
Hold on. Let me get her back on. Hello?
Hi. Sorry.
Welcome to the show. Hey, no problem.
Oh, my goodness. I want to respond to two things, if you don't mind. First of all, my heart was broken when the young lady came on the line, and she made the comment about women that are on or have received assistance from a government. I really want to lead off with this. I have never and will never delineate anyone else's journey. I know how difficult it is to be out there, and I thought when I prefaced it that I was stating my confusion on why my children felt any anger or hurt or pain because I made sure of these things. It doesn't delineate anyone's unit. So if anyone felt that way, please, from the bottom of my heart, accept my apologies because I don't negate that at all. We each have our own pathway. We each have our own journey and that we have to make it. I was just setting the stage of my own personal confusion as to why there was any feeling because, like, I did all this. Now, getting back to my brother GEI, Mr. Tone.
Yeah.
I want to say it in this manner because I don't want you to think that I'm going against your feelings or your thought process.
You can, though.
But no, I don't, because I hear what he's saying. But I just want him to view it from a different perspective. I was raised by my parents. Their joy in life was to make sure that each and every one of their children was independent and able to stand on their own two feet. So there is a point that they push the birdie out. Now, I took it a little bit on a different route than my sisters and brothers. I went into the military at the age of 17. So from the military, I was able to get my degree. And from the ability of getting my degree, I was offered a little bit easier route. But I knew that I had a pillow to fall back on. It wasn't that they said, they made sure that I was, they knew that if I ever needed them, that they would be there. But they also instilled in me a certain instinctive pride to say that I know I'm going to have some bumps and to make myself, and this is, again, just me, a sparkle in their eye or proud of me, that I was going to do everything in my ability to remain on my own two feet. I was doing the same thing with my children, that at some point I have to release them out to society, knowing that I instilled the best to the best of my ability. And they were raised by a village, so that they knew that if they had to come back, they did. But the pride and joy was being able to say, I stood on my own two feet. So don't misunderstand me. I hear what you're saying about your parents being there, and is there bribery on saying, well, you got to do it on your own. If you do it this way, you have to do it myself. But sometimes when you step out on your own journey and you don't necessarily want to follow the pathway, we can be there, as the other sister said earlier. Give me a plan, but I'm not going to fund you while you're getting high and laying back and letting all your friends kick back in the place that I'm supplying for you. You have to come up with a plan. If you don't want to go to college, and I'm going to know from a child that that's not going to be your direction. My love for you is going to hopefully provide me insight to what my child and who my child is. I know that one may take this route and the other one may take this route, but I want to provide them the ability to choose a route wisely.
Yeah.
But no, they're not going to play on my dime. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And we have to keep in mind that if a person, especially your parent and your parents, because it's not just his decision. It's not just Kurt's decision. He has a wife, right? And the two of them, as a family, as responsible parents, they have to make the best decision overall. And then sometimes the kids or that child may not see that. I mean, hell, you're 18, you're 22, you're 30, you're 32. He's gotten to that status and success with some work, right? So the son or the kids, we don't necessarily want our kids to have to go through the same things, but we still want them to be aware and be just as responsible and accountable with their decision making. You know, we can't force our kids to, like I mentioned earlier, you know, you got some where all of them were a certain status or a certain profession except one. And that one, you don't know how they got to that point and what influences were made for them to maybe despise the pressure of becoming a doctor or a nurse or an accountant or law enforcement.
Right.
And you know, they may be that downward spiral to where now, you know, they're on drugs or alcoholism or prostitution. I'm going far right, but this is real life here we're talking about.
Right.
And these are some of the things why you have that, I guess, quote unquote, black sheep kid because of the pressures. But, you know, so it's a challenge when you're dealing with multiple kids. And even through the whole process, the adults are going through stuff. You don't know what type of identity crisis. You don't know what type of stress between the marriage is going on. And I would say this, and we appreciate you chiming back in. We didn't even get into the fact of a blended family.
Right.
Right. So the caller mentioned you stole my dad. that they're probably not biological. You know, they probably don't have both of the same parents for that
right.
statement to be made, if you think about that.
Definitely. Right, definitely.
You know what I mean? Like, come on now. So there's so many things that we don't know the mindset of those individuals. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it's in the public eye. But like mm-hmm. I mentioned before, this is not uncommon in households.
Right.
And yeah, it's not uncommon at all.
One small or two small thought processes. My grandmother passed down that her ceiling should be her children's floor. My parents, their ceiling should be our floor. And hopefully there's an upward mobile thing. But we also know in the Black family that even 9 times out of 10 when we're at our best, we don't have the affordability that, let's say, the upper 2% have where they're giving their children, you know, $7, $8 million to start off with. And, hey, by the end of 2025, you got your trust fund. Do what you want with it. No, the majority of us have worked hard. And we're going to pass down that same thing. It's not something that we can just gift. It's not something that we can just give away. Because 9 times out of 10, even in our elder ages, we're still working, you know, accruing or trying to accrue wealth. And if we've done things right, our children will not have had to have gone through that. So, you know, my brother, Mr. GEI, I hope that I am still knowing you and loving you from a distance when you have your baby and they turn 18 and you go through that heart and pain of feeling. Because you're right. When we give birth to our children, it is expected that we are to provide. That is the main bottom line. But when you stay up all night with that child because they're sick, or you've gotten them out of trouble because they're feistier as children, or you're dealing with other things such as ADHD and all these other things, and you raise that child and you get them to a certain point, and you're tired, you might see things just a little bit differently. That, yes, I'm supposed to do it, but I didn't have to. We all had that same decision. I could have aborted. I could have given up. I could have given them out. But I chose to stick with them. So think about that in the back of their mind. It's not always because that's what I'm supposed to do, but it's where my heart led me to do.
Mm. If you had a microphone, would you just drop it right now? Can we just get you to drop the microphone? that's wisdom. Well, that's wisdom, that's experience, and like you mentioned before, you know, as parents, we literally feel like we're doing the best that we can, and there's so many decisions that we have to make to where all we can do is move forward and do it. Like, do you
right.
show up to this game, or do you take that extra shift so that you can get
right.
those cleats, you can get
right.
that jersey?
Yeah.
Ooh,
you know, you can pay for
one.
Senior pitchers.
Yes.
Right,
yes.
right. So
yes.
just as a parent, there's so many decisions that we can't explain. We can't explain to the kid. We just have to do it. You know, we're not
right.
going to call or send a text, hey, would you rather me show up to your game tonight or get this shift so I can get you some draws? You know
right.
what I mean? So
right.
it's a challenge. But at the same time, like I mentioned before, kids also have a responsibility. Now, I'm not saying the responsibility is to be or think as an adult, but
right.
they also have a responsibility, for themselves. We're not asking them to completely understand, but there are rules and regulations in our household, right, that you
right.
have to abide by. And
absolutely.
Then, you know, there's just some things that you may not like, and you have to understand we not besties like that to where, you know, we're going back and forth and bouncing ideas on how to run the household.
Right.
The shit's not
right.
happening like that.
Right.
And you have to understand, I'm laughing, but you have to understand that because that happens, right? That happens.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then later on in life, that adult child feels really entitled because mom, bestie, you know what I'm saying? They're
right.
not understanding why you're saying no now, or they're not understanding why you're looking out for you first and not making the same sacrifices as when they were a child.
Right.
And,
right.
And so there's responsibilities for everybody involved.
That old saying comes in that I heard my daddy say, my mama say, my grandmother say, I'm not your friend. I'm your mother. Period.
You got to reinforce that sometimes.
Yeah.
All right, because they're going to ask for
them. Now we can be friends. We can be friends. My job, I don't want to say is done, but for the most part, my job is done. I can be your friend. I can smile. I can laugh at you. I can walk. I can probably sit up there and have a drink with you, all that, because you're grown and you're stabilized and you're on your own 2 feet. And I can laugh at the mistakes. And I can laugh at, you know, my mistakes. But in the end, Mr. GEI, I'm still going to be there, Mama. I just, at some point, I got to release them. But I want to be
there.
You
got to release
them. Mr. GEI, please remain my friend, because I want to see when yours, I want to see when yours turns 13, 16, 18, 5. I want to be there. I'm hoping that I'm on this earth to see it, and let's have that same conversation. You guys are amazing. This was a good topic.
Yeah, thank you so much. I do want to ask you now, are either one of your kids married with kids, or do they have kids, either or both?
No, neither one. I told them that I gave birth to them because I wanted to have grandchildren. But, you know, both of them went into the military very young. They kind of followed the footsteps of what I did, my parents before me, so on and so forth. And they saw a lot. And they just really don't feel like they want to bring children into this world. And that's hurtful to me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, is my lineage going to die? But I have to respect their thought process.
Yeah.
So my fingers are crossed. Yeah. I'm hoping. I want to be a grandparent one day. And you know what? To be honest with you, I asked them, was my raising you a part of that decision that you never wanted to be that person? And gratefully, they said no. It's just that they did not want to bring.
Yeah, there's enough going on.
Yeah. Now I will also add this. My daughter is gay, and she's married to her wife. My son is not, but he saw a lot in the military. So, you know, what can I say? You know.
Now your gay daughter, she don't want nobody dropping nothing off in there. How would they do that if they get a kid? If they want a kid.
There's different ways that they can do it and the cost and all that. But what my daughter told me, it wasn't that she doesn't want to have children. She says, but, Mom, you told me, make sure that before I have a child, that I have a home to place them in, that I'm with the right person, that I've lived my life, that I've traveled, that I've seen the world. And I said, I take it all back now. I just want to make sure I'm pregnant in high school. You know, I mean, and that's kind of what my son threw at me, too. But they are doing well. So I don't know if they're going to change their mind. I can only hope.
When my son and daughter turn 13, I'll send it to Boss Lady.
Hey, open arms. I promise you that. But by the time your child's 13, you're going to have a whole new flavor in your mouth.
That's right.
And don't let it be a little girl. Don't let it be.
Oh yeah, my goddaughter already drives me crazy right now, so I can imagine what my own daughter would do.
Oh,
yeah. She drives you nuts.
Life is such a beautiful thing to look and be able to visualize you looking in the window while you're going to go through what you're going to go through. So, like I said, let us remain friends, because I would love to hold this conversation at their 25th birthday party.
I'm going to hold you to
Thank you so much. Ms. Boss Lady, I've already gotten a few DMs and a lot of the callers that just love your perspective and your content, and they're saying that it's a lot of wisdom and experience. And one guy I want to know, are you really curvy with silver hair? That's what one of the dudes said. So, I mean, I can't control what these folks are talking
That's
about.
That's who I am. That's who I am. Curvaceous. I'm on that that fluffy but sexy spectrum is what I call it.
Okay. That's what I'm talking about. Ms. Boss Lady!
You guys have a good evening.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate you. Man, pretty powerful show tonight. So I knew that it would be. what we got, what did we get? We got one question done out of about one six question. Or seven, right?
We got one
question.
We're definitely doing a part two because I definitely want to ask. And it's cool because a lot of the stuff that I wanted to ask we didn't touch on, so that's kind of cool. So definitely next week, definitely going to do a part two because there's two questions in here that I'm pretty sure the callers are going to, you know, do well on these two questions that I really want to know. Because, again, you know, I don't have kids, so I'm just speaking from, you know, what I see from my sisters, brothers, you know, friends, stuff like that. So, but, you know, who knows?
Yeah. Who knows, man? That'll be interesting to now, as of right now, because I know a lot of people want to know, as of right now, you and your wife, is children even in the conversation? Whether it be within the next 5 years, whether it be,
You know what's tonight? Funny? Like, people act tonight? yes, since I was young, I knew that I wanted to be a businessman. I knew that I wanted a wife, and I knew that I wanted kids. Mm-hmm. Those three things.
Okay.
And two of those things I have, so I'm just waiting on the kids. Mm. And that's, like, the part that's taking forever. So hopefully I can have – I mean, I'm going to be cool with one, but I want to have as many as I can have, 20, 15, it don't matter. I want to have a bunch. Okay. I always wanted, like, a big family, so –
hopefully, and then they can stay in the house as long as they possibly need to, right?
As long as they want. I wouldn't want my kids to leave. I mean, I knew they would have to leave, but I wouldn't want them to leave.
Yeah.
But I say that now. But
you say that now today, you know, climbing out windows, bringing folks in, playing craps in the backyard, you know.
It's a consistency thing. I do believe in consistency because I've seen some of my friends, you know, parent different. Some of them are, you know, a little bit lenient. And like y'all said, they be their friend. So I see how the kids act, and then I see some that are, I won't say strict, but just consistent. And the kids act a little different. Now, maybe when they get older and start really, like, in 18, 16, 17, they might, you know, develop a different way of thinking, but as of right now, it just seems like consistency wins, you know, from what I see. So, I mean, I guess, you know, being consistent is definitely one of the, you know, strong points of being a parent.
Yeah. I will say this before we go. Ms. Boss Lady made a powerful comment when she was referencing how her children felt about bringing kids into the world today. You know, that's deep, you know, and I believe that when you think about it, you know, in the 50s and the 60s, there's similar things that's going on now, especially when we talk about the African-American, the black community, you know, kids being killed, you know, folks getting away with all kind of stuff, you know, crooked law enforcement, the justice system, you know. Now, obviously, as a community, as a culture, we're making a lot of strides as well. You know, there's you know, obviously more millionaires or wealthy, higher class, upper middle class, you know, but at the same time, you know, I look at it overall and the progression, and it's really tough. You know, it's really tough that you know, a lot of things have not changed or have resurfaced, and that's what we're dealing with, you know, in our communities. And it's taken a toll to where we don't do the same things in our community. And I mentioned this before, and I won't go far into it, but when we start talking about our neighborhoods, and, you know, back in the day, Miss Brown, you got Miss Brown, and then you got, you know, Mrs. Ingram, one door down. Then you got Mrs. Johnson, you know, three doors down, three houses down, and they're communicating what's going on in the community. Even the law enforcement, you have designated police officers who you can call, depend on, who knows your face, you know his face. And so, you know, they're not coming from a different precinct, or they're not just coming trying to, you know, force the issue because they don't know what goes on in the neighborhood. You know, the guys in high school, the women in high school in their own communities go to college, or they go to a technical school or the academy, then they come back to their own neighborhood. Do you remember how that used to be? You know what I mean? You would know Tony, you know, hey, Tony went to high school with us, you know, he's a police officer now, you know, blah, 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 or he's an attorney now, but, you know, he's back serving the community. It's very different nowadays, you know.
I just think that these communities in certain areas, things just got so bad that people just want to escape. So the people that do make it out, they just feel like, I don't want to go back, you know? You know what I'm saying? They don't want – and at one point, at a time in my life, I used to be like, oh, you sold out, you're a sellout, da-da-da-da, whatever the case may be. But
yeah,
as it get worse and worse and worse and worse, it's just like, man, you know, if you –
just remove yourself from that.
Yeah, just remove yourself and your family, because it's getting to a point where it's uncontrollable. You know, like I had a conversation today with a guy – and we were talking about this, like, man, it's getting to the point where these kids is just, they're killing for fun. It's fun to them now. So, you know, if you got something going on with your life, or your kids got something going on, I don't fault them for leaving. I don't.
Yeah.
You know, get in the way.
Yeah.
You know, just try to bring somebody, you know, if you can, just try to bring somebody with you. You know, bring one or two. You can't save everybody, but just trying to bring somebody with you to remove them from that situation. I think that's what you got to do, unless you just got the money to, you know, buy the community and start over or something like that. But other than that, man, get away, man. Enjoy life. Get away from the violence and stuff, because we just live in a crazy time. And I wanted to say this to this boss lady. It's sad to hear that. You know, it's kids out there that don't want to bring kids into this world. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of it's heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking to hear it, so I can imagine being their parents and hearing that from your kids is like, man, you know, like, it's just a messed up time, so I get it.
Yeah.
You know, I be thinking about that all the time myself. Like, do we, you know, me and my wife say it, like, do we really want to bring kids into this world? But you know, it's just a weird thing, man. It's just a weird thing. But that's another whole topic, another whole...
It is. It is, man. So I want to thank everybody for hanging tight tonight. Obviously, it was a very intense show tonight. And are we doing the part two next week, or are we just going to bring it back at some point?
No, we're going to do it next week. We're going to keep it popping.
Okay. So we're gonna keep the same flavoration, right? So I want you guys to definitely start chiming in. What we'll do, and I probably said it 10 times already, we'll do a midweek post, right? We'll do a midweek post. We're about to give you all the social media handles where you can tap in, and we'll go ahead and start giving out the topics midweek. And if you have certain questions you want us to address, if you have certain comments, go ahead and drop those off in whatever platform that you decide, which we'll talk about here in a second. But I just want to thank everybody. I want to thank all the callers that came in. Candy, we know you gave it a shot. You know, so just be cool, stay engaged, do what you got to do to make things right. But we appreciate everybody for hanging tight. Obviously, our show is scheduled for 10 o'clock, but it's just too much going on. We might as well not even start saying 10 o'clock anymore, right? So
I just say 9 o'clock. 9
right, so the start is at 9 o'clock. So I want to thank everybody for hanging tight. Give everybody, man, give them everything they need to continue to tap in and follow us on our social media links and handles.
Definitely. You can follow GEI Radio on all social media platforms at GEI Radio. You can follow the show, @necessary_convo on Instagram. You can follow myself, GEI Tone, on all social media platforms. Again, like Gigi said, you know, we're here each and every Friday, 9 p.m. until. If you have any questions or you got topics or ideas, you can drop them in any inbox. And Gigi, let them know where they can find you at.
All right, for sure. Thanks again for tuning in. GEI Tone, I like the way Ms. Boss Lady had handled you. I thought that was kind of dope. You've never been handled like that on the show before. But that's what grown folks do, right? But you can find me, guys, IG, GG After Dark. You can definitely find me there. Social on Facebook, you can go ahead and follow me at Malloy Rob. Yeah, check me out over there on Malloy Rob on Facebook if that's your thing. Also, YouTube situation, I am Rob Malloy. But pretty much GG After Dark everything, even ggafterdark.com. On next month, and I'll continue to say it, and I have to say it because we're almost sold out on the Brims and Stiletto event.
Awesome.
On April 3rd.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we're almost sold out, meaning we're almost
out. April 3rd.
April 2nd, I'm sorry. April 2nd, Friday,
okay.
April 2nd. All right, we got a whole nother situation April 3rd, man. I ain't even blocking. But, yeah, so just go ahead and lock in there.
Yeah, so April 3rd, you know, GG got a big event. I mean, April 2nd, I just got on you for that. April 2nd, GG got a big event. April 3rd, we're doing the launch party for our TV network. So it's going to be a great week in Atlanta, man. It's going to be
It's going to be a banger.
So if you're in Atlanta, you know, you're more than welcome to come out Friday and Saturday to rock with GG and myself. Again, we appreciate y'all tuning in each and every Friday night with us. Please try to get on before 10 o'clock, because after 10 o'clock, you won't be able to get on. So please try to get on before 10 o'clock. Hit one, and we'll get you on. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. See y'all next Friday. Peace.
All right, we out. Peace.